Disc 5.
We returned to Northumbria, half rowing and half sailing the Wind Viper up the gentle coast, then rowing against the river's currents as we travelled up the Humber, then the Ouse, until Jofrick's walls came into sight. And there we hauled the ship onto dry land so she would not rot through the winter. Ivar and Ubba returned with us, so that a whole fleet skimmed the river, oars dipping, beastless prows bearing branches of green oak to show we came home victorious. We brought home much treasure. The Danes set much store by treasure. Their men followed their leaders because they know they will be rewarded with silver. And in the taking of three of England's four kingdoms, the Danes had amassed a fortune that was shared among the men, and some, a few, decided to take their money back home to Denmark. Most stayed, for the richest kingdom remained undefeated, and men reckoned they would all become as wealthy as gods once Wessex fell. Ivar and Ubba had come to Jofrick expecting trouble. They had their shields displayed on the flanks of their ships, but whatever unrest had disturbed Northumbria had not affected the city, and King Egbert, who ruled at the pleasure of the Danes, sulkily denied there had been any rising at all. Archbishop Wulfhere said the same. "There is always banditry," he declared loftily, "and perhaps you heard rumours of it." "Or perhaps you are deaf," Ivar snarled, and Ivar was right to be suspicious. For once it was known that the army had returned, messengers came from Ealdorman Riksig of Dunholm. Dunholm was a great fortress on a high crag that was almost surrounded by the river Weir, and the crag and the river made Dunholm almost as strong as Bebbanburg. It was ruled by Riksig, who had never drawn his sword against the Danes. When we attacked Jofrick and my father was killed, Riksig had claimed to be sick and his men had stayed home. But now he sent servants to tell Ivar that a band of Danes had been slaughtered at Geruum. That was the site of a famous monastery, where a man called Bede wrote a history of the English church that Beoka had always praised to me, saying that when I learned to read properly, I could give myself the treat of reading it. I have yet to do so, but I have been to Geruum and seen where the book was written, for Ragnar was asked to take his men there and discover what had happened. It seemed six Danes, all of them masterless men, had gone to Geruum and demanded to see the monastery's treasury, and when the monks claimed to be penniless, the six had started killing. But the monks had fought back, and as there were over a score of monks, and as they were helped by some men from the town, they succeeded in killing the six Danes who had then been spitted on posts and left to rot on the foreshore. Thus far, as Ragnar admitted, the fault lay with the Danes. But the monks, encouraged by this slaughter, had marched west up the River Tyne and attacked a Danish settlement where there were only a few men, those too old or too sick to travel south with the army, and there they had raped and killed at least a score of women and children, proclaiming that this was now a holy war. More men had joined the makeshift army, but Ealdorman Riksig, fearing the revenge of the Danes, had sent his own troops to disperse them. He had captured a good number of the rebels, including a dozen monks who were now held at his fortress above the river at Dunholm.